Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vardhman Special Steels Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shreya M. from IIFL Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I welcome you all to the earnings conference call for the Q1 FY23 for Vardhman Special Steels Limited. We're pleased to have with us Mr. Sachit Jain, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Sanjeev Singla, CFO. We will have the opening remarks from the management, followed by a question-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Shreya, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our earnings call. With me are new ED of the company, Mr. R.K. Rewari, our CFO, Sanjeev Singla, our Company Secretary, Sonam. We also have with us one of our new board members, Shumon Chatterjee, who's joining the call. He's based in Gurgaon, and my daughter, Soumya, is also on the call. A lot of us from the company side. As before, we will start with a few comments in the beginning, but as you know, most of the large part of our con call is mostly questions raised by you that we will answer. Let me share with you that we had a very special quarter which just went by. Why is it special? In many ways. The most important way in which I would say it is special is we have really strengthened our company board. We have four new board members. Mr. Rewari, I already talked about, who's our new ED. He joined us as a chief executive in February and now made ED in the company. He has about 40 years experience, and 30 years of that is with our group. I worked with him very closely when I began my career in setting up our Baddi operation in Vardhman Textiles. We have three other directors that I'd like to introduce you to. One is Ito-san from Aichi, who the steel division. Ishigami-san, the earlier president of the steel division, has retired, and Ito-san has come in his place. Ito-san is a steel man, but he also has deep forging experience, and he was head of MD, president of Shanghai Forging. He's got forging experience as well as China experience, and he'll be a very good addition to the board. Two new independent directors, Mr. Shumon Chatterjee, who's on this call. He is an IIM Ahmedabad graduate of 1989. He started with Leavers, became the MD of Levi's India, and was the MD of SC Johnson India, and the chief revenue officer of Lenskart. Now he's an independent consultant and he happens to be a batchmate of mine. That is an aside, but his core expertise is marketing, of course, general management after that. The other board member who's joined us is Mrs. Vidya Shah. She is from the Edelweiss Group. Her career is finance. She's also an MBA from IIM Ahmedabad, same batch as ours, 1989 batch. ICICI Investment Banking, in few investment banks, and then of course, Edelweiss since it was founded. She was the CFO of Edelweiss, and now she's the head of the Edelweiss Foundation. Her expertise is finance, as well as CSR, NGOs and so on. That she's going to be chairing our CSR committee in addition to being a board member. With the addition of these board members introduction, let me also share why else this quarter was special. We have had record production, record sales. For the first time, we crossed 50,000 tons, actually 52,000 tons of sales. We had record profits after tax, of course, aided by Bharat move to the newer tax regimen of 25%. So that is the main reason why we got record profits. But within the quarter, we have had hit up, within the quarter, in one particular month, we have hit 19,000 tons of sales. So, you know, this shows that the company's ability to sell, and of course, production has kept max. We had record production in our SMS, in our rolling, as well as bright bar. So all around, the company has functioned well. I wanted to thank my colleagues who are, very few of them are here, but Mr. Rewari, as the head of all our operational team, is here on your behalf, I mean, he's here on behalf of the team. These are the main reasons why it was special. If you recall, some of you were there in the earlier call, in the previous call I said this year is totally unpredictable. We have no way of giving any forecast. So I said for this year, all forecasts are out. Volatility was crazy. Ingot prices ranged from 38,000 at the low to 63,000 in the middle, came down to 42,000, went back to 52,000. So there was no way of predicting when to buy, when not to buy, when to stop, when to hold. So it is an absolutely crazy quarter. I have never seen something like this in my 30-year career. And when the price negotiation with the OEs happened, we have got price increases from most of the OEs. Some of the OEs have still not settled, but most of them have settled. So 9,000 rupees is the common increase most of the OEs have given for this quarter. Our expectation was higher. We were expecting between 12 to 15,000 and we deserved that. We deserved 15, but we're expecting 12 to 15,000. The OEs haven't given that because the sentiment of the steel industry changed on the 21st of May when the government changed the rules of doing business of steel in the country by imposing a 15% export tax on steel. Now this tax that we understand is temporary. How temporary it is, till when it is, we don't know. But for the moment, it disrupted the steel pricing, changed the sentiment drastically as steel prices crashed. And therefore, the OEs could manage by giving us a lesser increase than was perhaps due to us. In addition to Q1, we've also settled Q2 for most of the OEs. So there has been a price reduction of 4,000 rupees per ton for Q2. Of course, the raw material prices have also come down in Q2, so a reduction was warranted, perhaps not to the extent that the OEs have managed to get away with. So this is the overall scenario. Our EBITDA per ton is within the 7 to 10,000 rupees range that we said is our normal range. It is lower than Q1 of last year, which was over 12,000. And this year it's about 9,800 or something. So around that figure. So it is within that range. And we do believe that despite the uncertainties going on, continuing, because the fluctuation of raw materials continue, and the lesser than what we deserved increase, we will still be able to maintain our EBITDA per ton for the full year between the range of 7 to 10. Demand continues to be robust. Cars are strong. Motorcycles are medium. So are tractors and commercial vehicles. But really, cars are strong. So overall, on that front also, we believe that we would like to up our target of earlier we had announced that last year 173,000 tons, this year 180,000 tons, but we believe now we would like to target 190,000 tons, maybe 195, but let's say 190,000 tons with hopefully an upward bias from that, but that is what we'll be targeting for this year. So these are the overall updates. A specific positive event I want to share, that as you are aware that you are looking at environmental approvals for our expansion of the existing plant. We got the central environment approval. We needed a consent to operate from Punjab Pollution Control Board. I'm happy to share with you that that has also been received by the company, and which means, of course, subject to our fulfilling all the conditions, which in our opinion will be done by the end of December this year, maybe even earlier than that, but by December surely all the conditions will be met. So the point is, it is now in our hands, it is not in governmental bodies' hands to get the approval. These are the general opening remarks at this stage, and we'll wait for your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nimesh Gupta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
A very good set of numbers. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
My first question is on the EBITDA.
Umesh, your voice is muffled a bit. So can you speak a little slowly that I can hear it clearly?
Okay. Now is it okay?
Yeah, it's
okay,
better. Sir? It is better, yeah.
So our EBITDA guidance is 7,000 to 10,000 per ton. So my question is, sir, why is it such a wide range in guidance, like from the bottom end to the top end, there is a difference of 40%. Why I am asking this is, I mean, there is a company in structural tube business, and they also exhibit the guidance in per ton only, but that is a difference only of 10%, and their raw material is also steel only. So this is my first question, sir.
Okay, so maybe they have a better grip on their company operations and they can predict exactly what numbers will come. We maybe don't have that strong an operation that we can't predict exactly. There are so many variables out here, so many fluctuations happen. There's a price negotiation which happens. There is not a mathematical formula that the cost goes up and automatically the price will increase by that much. So there's a demand scenario. There's a government uncertainty which comes in. For example, the sudden government policy which came in has suddenly shifted the price increase that we were going to get dramatically, so which has changed the EBITDA that we would have got for Q1 and then for Q2 also, because the reduction would have happened on a higher base. You know, so there are so many unpredictables out here that it is difficult to predict. Now, another company may be in a pure conversion business where it is possible for them to predict exactly, and they have set formulas with which prices change. So I cannot comment on another company, but in our company there are too many variables, so this is why the range will be there.
Okay. And so my second question is, in this quarter we have got a 42% increase in our revenue. In that 42% increase, 2% is on account of the value-added products. So, I mean, what kind of products are these, and is this like 2% going to increase in next quarters or in next year, I mean, in the long term?
Yeah, so in the next 3 years, this 2% is going to become, and 2% is not total, it's a shift. So the increase in margin, because we already have a lot of value-added products, but 2% is the increase in the turnover because of the value-added products. So please don't think it's just 2% of the entire company's sales. But to share with you that we have already said in public and said it in several times, Aichi's business, our partners, for some of you joining the call for the first time, Aichi Steel Corporation of Japan, which is part of Toyota Group, is our JV partners. And they expect to source between 30,000 to 50,000 tons per year in 3 years' time. So maybe 24, 25 or 25, there'll be maybe a spillover. But by 25, 26, we expect, I think 24, 25, we should get between 30 to 50,000 tons will be sourced by Aichi itself. Now, in addition to Aichi, there are other Japanese OEs that are approaching us and other tier one suppliers of Japanese OEs that are approaching us independently because they know with Aichi coming in, our processes are going to become much stronger. So those kind of inquiries coming in, we see this figure of 30 to 50,000 tons, in my opinion, will actually cross 50,000 tons as a total. So we, and today, as of now, the sales are minuscule. So a big chunk is going to happen in the next three years, starting this year itself. So starting already, approvals from Toyota have started coming. So already mass manufacturing for some parts has begun. So every quarter we'll have more products coming online. So the mass manufacturing of Toyota products is going to be increasing every quarter.
Okay. That's it from my side. I will again join. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Seth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. And sir, congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, I had a few questions. Firstly, what would be the production for Q1 FY23?
Singla, can you share the numbers?
It's 54,000 tons of billet production.
Okay.
And about 47,000 tons of rolled production.
Okay. So then I would assume that we would have sold 5,000 from our inventory, and that means our inventory, which had increased in at the end of March.
Yes. You are right. Partly it is from the inventory and partly it is from outside rolling.
Okay, from outside rolling also. Okay. Okay. And so
hello?
We seem to be cut off. Are we cut off or is he cut off?
I can hear you.
No, sir, you're audible.
Sadly?
Yeah. So we can hear you.
Oh, so the questioner is got cut off then. Okay. So yes, to answer his question, yes, inventory levels have come down partly, so sales are partly from inventory, and we also do outside rolling for certain products, so right. Partly product has come from that.
Sure. So connected question to this is what would be the net debt after June, at the end of June 2022?
It's 180 crores.
Okay. Sure.
And to share with you, the current net debt is higher than what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because we had higher priced inventory, which is getting eaten up because raw material was higher in Q1.
Mm-hmm.
The price increases for the OEs happened in July.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the 9,000 rupees is a big chunk. And the invoicing of that is begun to happen now.
Okay.
And therefore, those amounts are lying as outstanding. So roughly over 30 crores is extra outstanding just because of the price increase.
Okay.
And therefore, the debt is higher because of that.
Mm.
To that extent. So you will see these numbers normalizing by Q2. So Q1 actually we have a net negative cash flow despite having record profits. The cash flow is negative for Q1, but Q2, by end of Q2 we would be back to normal levels. End of the year our net debt levels will be below 100 crores.
Right. As inventory. Okay, sure. Got it. Okay. You mentioned that we have received the final regulatory clearance from the Punjab Pollution Control Board. Should we assume that our brownfield expansion is on track and should be completed by Q4 FY 2023?
No. See, there are several parts to this brownfield expansion.
Mm-hmm.
One part is the furnace part, increasing the production of the melting.
Okay.
That part is completed.
Okay.
Second part is the environmental parts.
Mm.
Which we said will get completed by December.
Okay.
Third part is rolling mill.
Right.
That will take some more time.
Okay.
Fourth part is some additions to the rolling mill, which will increase our production further, improve quality and so on. That will take still further time. There is the quality, the entity, the non-destructive testing line, which itself is a big chunk of investment.
Mm.
Which will also take something like 2 years, 1.5 to 2 years from now. There are several parts to it. The point is, capacity now is no longer a constraint for sales for the next 2 years.
Okay.
As the market demand picks up, we have the ability to service the market through our internal sources and through a bit of outsourcing.
Okay. If there is demand, you know, earlier our capacity expansion was to be completed by Q4 FY 2023, which would have increased.
No, we never said that. We've always said the melting will be done first, the rolling will take a little longer, and the rolling has got delayed because as you are aware that because of this global supply chain issues, the supply from all equipment manufacturers has got delayed.
Okay.
It's for that reason. Otherwise, you are right that by end of this year, we were expecting our rolling mill expansion to also have got completed.
Right. Okay.
It will take, it'll take 1 year more. We have been able to improve our productivity of our rolling mill. The rolling mill, I mean, what I'm saying very clearly is capacity is no longer a constraint for sales.
Okay. If there's a demand of, say, about 230,000-240,000 tons in the market, then we will be able to.
Next year we will be able to match 220,000-230,000 tons, 230,000-240,000. If the demand happens that level, we will be able to meet that demand.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the.
I'm not expecting that kind of demand, so let's not let someone get a wrong impression.
Right. That will be from debottlenecking and then some out rolling outside as well, right?
Correct. Sometimes we buy billets from outside, so we able to do all those things sometimes to meet servicing requirements and so on.
Sure. Sir, in last couple of calls you've mentioned that, you know, there could be some update on the greenfield CapEx. You know, you're expecting Aichi representatives to come to India. You know, would you like to highlight anything on this or?
Those things are still being discussed. I'm afraid nothing is going to be announced very soon. The good part of Japanese is they are very thorough in the work that they do. Whatever, once it is decided, everything is decided together, will come up as an absolutely world-class plant.
Okay.
Hmm.
Sir, just one last.
No update as of now. The fact is everyone in Aichi understands that we will have a capacity problem in 2024-2025.
Sure. Point taken. Sir, just last point you mentioned that, you know, scrap prices were very volatile in Q1 FY 2023. You know, have they stabilized now and, you know, with this increase and then subsequent decrease in prices, you think that any fluctuation has been taken care of?
You see, I am not a soothsayer. I cannot forecast where commodities will move. The best of world experts fail in predicting commodity movements, so I will not even try to venture in that area.
Sure, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Just for the information of everybody out here, Since we do not have very high stocks of raw material, normally we don't. So we take raw material based on the market prices of that particular point. Once in a while when we see a massive arbitrage, as we saw last year, then we stocked up heavily on local raw material. But those kind of opportunities will come once in a while when it's a clear arbitrage from trends that you see. And we did that, we took advantage of that. Similarly, for graphite electrodes, we saw at the level of graphite electrode prices that were available, we stocked up for 1 year on graphite electrodes. So it was a big call I took, a big increase our inventory, but also gave us benefit as a company in terms of lower graphite electrode prices than the market prices. So once in a while, we will take that kind of call, but that is not the way we do business. When a clear arbitrage is visible, only then we'll do it, because we do not want to speculate on prices of raw material.
Sure, sure. So that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Devang Shah, a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon, first of all.
Hi,
I have. It's the first time I am also tracking the company. So that would be, is it possible to speak in Hindi? Sir, that would be okay for you.
आप बोलिए, आप जिस भाषा में बोलने बोलेंगे उस भाषा में बोलेंगे, थोड़ी जापानी भी बोल लेंगे, थोड़ी पंजाबी से भी गल कर लांगे, बट हिंदी में कोई दिक्कत नहीं, मैं भारत से पढ़ा हूँ।
सर, मेरे को सिर्फ इतना जानना था, फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल, कि सर, टू व्हीलर्स का और फोर व्हीलर्स का एग्जैक्ट कितना वेटेज है टेल्स के अंदर, लाइक आइदर मच मोर डिपेंडेंसी फोर व्हीलर्स में है कि टू व्हीलर्स में अभी?
देखिए, दोनों का लगभग आसपास है, और टू व्हीलर्स का 32% के आसपास, 30-32% के आसपास होगा, ये क्वार्टर टू क्वार्टर थोड़ा बदलता रहता है, और फोर व्हीलर्स का 37-40% के आसपास होगा, और बट ट्रेंड आगे चलते हुए क्लियरली फोर व्हीलर्स की तरफ है, तो ट्रेंड क्लियरली फोर व्हीलर, क्योंकि सारा जो आईटी का बिजनेस है और जो सारा जो एक्सपोर्ट का बिजनेस जिसकी मैं बात कर रहा था, वो सारा फोर व्हीलर्स का है। तो आगे चल के फोर व्हीलर्स का मेरे ख्याल से 50।
हेलो,
हाँ, 50-60% होने की संभावना है आगे चल के।
ओके,
फोर व्हीलर की तरफ है।
ओके, सेकेंड क्वेरी ये था कि सर, एग्जैक्टली प्रिसाइजली हमारे कॉम्पिटिटर्स कौन है लिस्टेड में, क्योंकि जैसे मैं दिखते जा रहा हूँ तो उस कंपैरेटिवली हमारे कॉम्पिटिटर पीयर्स कौन से होंगे?
सो एग्जैक्टली कोई भी नहीं है।
ओके, एग्जैक्टली कोई नहीं है, बट नियर बाय सर 50-60% या 70% वेटेज आता होगा।
हाँ, तो नियर बाय अगर देखा जाए तो मेरे हिसाब से मुकंद।
ओके,
अब मुकंद वो जो उनकी जो मुकंद सुमितोमो मुकंद जो हो गया है ना, वो वाली कंपनी। हाँ हाँ, तो वो वाली कंपनी सनफ्लैग।
ओके,
तो मेरे हिसाब से ये दोनों हमारे सबसे करीब होंगे मार्केट के हिसाब से, तो ये दोनों ही हैं।
ओके, क्योंकि सर जैसे लाइक बिजनेस और हम लोग व्यू देख रहे हैं, तो करंटली स्टॉक में आपका रॉ मटेरियल हुआ स्टील, स्टील इज योर रॉ मटेरियल। स्क्रैप होगा सर। नाउ अगर ओईएम्स को आपको मिलना है, माने कि ऑटो कंपनीज को, देन डू यू टेक 3 months और 6 months, दे टेक द कॉल फॉर द प्राइस हाइक? सो रिसेंट करेक्शन आया तो भी वी कैन नॉट बेनिफिट अलॉट फ्रॉम दैट, आइदर ऑन इन्वेंट्री वॉज देयर, तो इन्वेंट्री एट पार हो गया कि ओईएम्स ने आपको अभी रेट हाइक करके दिया, तो यू गॉट द सेल्स एंड यू गॉट द फिगर्स। सो आई जस्ट वॉन्ट टू नो लाइक हाउ मच इन्वेंट्री कंपनी रखती है टू कंसिडर के इस क्वार्टर का, मीन्स 3 months की इन्वेंट्री रख के आप लोग वर्कआउट करते हो ओईएम से, कैसे करते हैं?
नहीं, नहीं,
तो
तो साइकिल ऐसा है कि हर ओई अलग अलग तरीके से काम करता है। तो एक कुछ ओई है जो फॉर्मूला बेस पे काम करते हैं, बट हर एक कोई एवरेजेस की बात करता है। कोई 3 महीने की एवरेज प्राइसिंग लेके चलता है या 6 महीने की एवरेज प्राइसिंग लेके चलता है। इन्वेंट्री का डिसीजन किसी कंपनी का होगा कि इन्वेंट्री रखे ना रखे। और ओई जो है आमतौर पे जो क्वांटम ऑफ इंक्रीज है वो सेम देते हैं पूरी इंडस्ट्री को। तो मारुति अगर प्राइस इंक्रीज देगा तो एक कैटेगरी को देगा, अलॉय स्टील बार्स को अगर प्राइस इंक्रीज देगा, तो अगर 9,000 रुपए की प्राइस इंक्रीज दी है तो सभी को 9,000 रुपए की प्राइस इंक्रीज देगा। आपकी कॉस्ट ज्यादा बढ़ी है या कम हुई है उस पर फर्क नहीं पड़ता।
राइट सर,
तो
क्योंकि सर
ये इंडस्ट्री में ये नेगोशिएशन जो है वो इंडस्ट्री वाइड चलती है।
पर सर दैट वुड ऑल्सो टेक 3 to 6 months ना,
नो नो नो
तो
नो नो,
महीने तो लेते होंगे ना मीटिंग के
ना
लिए।
ना, क्योंकि हर क्वार्टर में बदल रहा है तो आमतौर पे 1-1.5 महीने में हो जाता है। इस बार क्योंकि वॉलेटिलिटी इतनी ज्यादा थी किसी को समझ नहीं आ रहा था किस बेसिस पे कैलकुलेट किया जाए।
सो दैट वाज
द ये अनप्रेसिडेंटेड था कि जो इस बार जुलाई में जाके सेटलमेंट हुई है ऐसा बहुत देर बाद देखा है मैंने।
और सर मेरे को ये समझना है कि आपका बिगेस्ट और द बेस्ट क्वार्टर कौन सा होता है, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4 में से देखा जाए तो?
ऐसा कुछ नहीं है, आमतौर पे Q2 बेस्ट होना चाहिए डिमांड के हिसाब से, क्योंकि क्योंकि ओई में स्टॉकिंग अप चलती है दिवाली की सेल के लिए। तो सेल्स पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू से आमतौर पे Q2 बेस्ट होना चाहिए।
और
इस साल ऐसा एक्सपेक्ट नहीं कर रहे, 52,000 टन हमारा Q1 में हो गया, तो आप बोलेंगे भैया Q1 में 52 है तो Q2 अगर आपका बेस्ट होता है, आप कह रहे हो डिमांड भी अच्छी है, तो Q2 में हमारी आम एक्सपेक्टेशन 52 से ऊपर होनी चाहिए, ऐसा नहीं होने वाला।
सेकेंड ये कि अगर आपके लिए बेनिफिशियरी मोस्टेस्ट क्या है, बेनिफिशियरी फॉर दिस कंपनी, कि स्टील के प्राइस लोएस्ट रहे तो अच्छा है, हाईएस्ट रहे तो अच्छा है, या तो ऑटोज में डिमांड अच्छी रहे तो अच्छा है। मीन्स अगर मेरे को कैटेगराइज करना है कि वर्तमान स्पेशलिटी स्टील है
तो आमतौर पे नहीं, बिल्कुल सही, अच्छा बिल्कुल सही क्वेश्चन है आपका और मैं भी स्ट्रगल करता हूँ। हमारे लिए बेस्ट है कि स्टील में मंदा ना हो और तेजी भी ना हो।
फ्लैट रहे तो
हाँ, स्टील फ्लैट चल रहा है और ऑटो डिमांड अच्छी हो वो बेस्ट सिनेरियो है।
वो बेस्ट सिनेरियो, क्योंकि ऑटो डिमांड इज एट द पीकेस्ट बिकॉज द प्लांट्स 100% पे वर्क ही नहीं कर रहे अभी,
करेक्ट, बट
दे आर
स्टील में
वर्किंग एट
मंदा हो गया
70 और 80%, तो स्टील कम हो गया आपके लिए।
स्टील मंदा हो गया है और स्टील मंदा डिमांड की वजह से नहीं हुआ, ये सरकार की जो पॉलिसी आई है 15% एक्सपोर्ट ड्यूटी लगाने की, उससे मंदा आया है। इट इज एन आर्टिफिशियली इंड्यूस्ड मंदा। और अगर ये पॉलिसी जैसे कि ये सुनने में आया है कि ये टेम्प्रेरी है और अगले कुछ महीनों में ये हट जाएगी, तो एकदम से डिमांड में ये स्टील में जो मंदा जो आया हुआ है, मंदा से नॉर्मल में आ जाएगा या तेजी में आएगा। आई बिलीव ये शेषाद्री राव जी जो JSW के MD की स्टेटमेंट आई है कि Q3 में वो स्ट्रांग डिमांड एक्सपेक्ट कर रहे हैं। अब भाई वो बड़ी कंपनी है, वो जानते हैं, हम उनकी फॉलो करते हैं। अगर अगर शेषाद्री राव जी कह रहे हैं कि स्टील में चीजें ठीक हो जाएंगी तो हम भी ये मानेंगे कि स्टील, आई प्रिज्यूम उनके भी उन्होंने ये अंदाजा लगाया होगा कि तब तक ये एक्सपोर्ट ड्यूटी हट जाएगी, एक्सपोर्ट टैक्स हट जाएगा। बट अगेन मेरे को कोई आइडिया नहीं, मैं तो उनकी स्टेटमेंट देख के अंदाजा लगा रहा हूँ। तो प्लीज मेरे को ना कि
अंडरस्टैंड सर, वो स्पेक्यूलेट नहीं करना, बट मेरे को भी समझना है कि अगर वर्तमान स्पेशलिटी स्टील का प्राइस यहाँ से डबल होगा कि 3 times होगा कि 5 times होगा, तो कौन से सीनेरियो में होना चाहिए? ऑटो में तेजी होने, स्टील की तेजी या मंदी से? तो थोड़ा तो अपने को व्यू है कि इंडस्ट्री को या आपके स्टॉक को देखना कौन से सीनेरियो में चाहिए। ब्रैकेट तो
ऑटो में तेजी और बट अब एक उसमें फैक्टर सर आपने आप भूल गए कि हमारे यहाँ पे बहुत बड़ा बिजनेस जो आने वाला है वो सारा एक्सपोर्ट का है, जो ऑटो की ना तेजी से फर्क पड़ता है ना मंदी से फर्क पड़ता है।
ओके सर, बट दैट इज गोइंग टू कम आफ्टर 2025।
नहीं 2025 में आ जाएगा, ये तो हर साल अब आना शुरू हो गया, वो पार्ट शुरू हो गया हमारा अगले साल से।
आईजी में जो सेल कर रहे हो वो, सो दैट व्हाट यू आर सेलिंग टू आईजी?
हाँ, तो अगले साल से नजर आना शुरू हो जाएगा।
सो फ्रॉम नेक्स्ट ईयर, सो वो दैट वुड बी हाउ मच द प्रोपोर्शनेट रेशियो ऑफ द सेल्स?
दैट इज अ स्मॉल प्रोपोर्शन, स्टिल वी नॉट सी, आई थिंक उसका इम्पैक्ट आना शुरू हो जाएगा। वी विल नॉट बी शेयरिंग ईयरली हम कितना आई
थी। 5% 10% तो अभी हो रहा होगा ना, तो ही आप इतना कन्विक्शन से बोल सकते हो।
अभी अभी नहीं हो रहा, अभी तो स्टार्ट हुआ है, अभी तो जुमा जुमा वो पैदा हुए हैं तो थोड़ा सा क्रॉल करना शुरू हुआ है बेबी। आप भागने की बात कर रहे हो?
नो नो सर, आई एम जस्ट
अभी स्टार्ट हुआ है,
क्योंकि सर आपकी कंपनी स्पेशलाइजेशन बिजनेस में है, सो कहीं ना कहीं तो आपके पास पावरिंग की कोई ना कोई तो बेनिफिशियरी होगी, बिकॉज मेरी लेस कंपनी यार कॉम्पिटिटर्स है आपके पास, लेस कंपनीज कॉम्पीट करने में आपके पास अनऑर्गेनाइज मार्केट होता होगा।
फिर मैं एक्सप्लेन कर दूं, ये जो कॉम्पिटिटर कम है वो है बिजनेस के लिए।
ओके हाँ, बिजनेस
जो प्राइसिंग डिसाइड होती है मार्केट में, उसके कई और प्लेयर्स है, उसमें JSW भी आ गया, टाटा लॉन्ग प्रोडक्ट्स भी आ गया, जयसवाल निको भी आ गया, कल्याणी भी आ गया, सो कई और प्लेयर आ जाते हैं उसमें, आर्जस भी आ जाता है। तो हम ऐसे इंडस्ट्री में नहीं है कि खाली तीन लोग डिसाइड करते हैं क्या हो रहा है।
ओके
वो कॉम्पिटिटर बता सकते हैं, उसे को सब्स्टिट्यूट कर सकते हैं।
हाँ,
भी लेस एफर्ट, वो तीन प्लेयर्स हैं।
ओके ओके सर,
हाँ जी
दैट्स फाइन, थैंक्स फॉर द
The next question is from the line of Anil Kumar Sharma, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congrats for the great numbers again. Sir, my question is, as you said, the OEMs give increase on industry-wise level. So there are three competitors mainly, but there is, for example, Sunflag, Pamukkan. Their process is different. They are not using electrographite. So are they in a better position or we are in a better position in this scenario?
Sir, कहना बड़ा मुश्किल है, तो वो तो आप लोग को जज करना है कौन बेटर पोजिशन में है। आप हमें देखिए, हमें किसी कॉम्पिटिटर पे कम्पीट नहीं करना चाहूँगी, हम उनसे बेटर है कि वो हमसे बेटर है।
नहीं नहीं, मेरा पॉइंट वो नहीं है, मतलब जब प्राइस की बात आती है उसकी, उस पॉइंट से मैं कह रहा हूँ।
वो चेंज होता रहता है प्राइस में, तो जिसकी जिसकी चल जाए, जिसकी नेगोशिएशन चल जाए, उसकी चल जाती है। तो पिछले दो साल से हम लोग सेट कर रहे थे प्राइसिंग, इस बार किसी और को बुलाया गया, तो वही जो टेस्ट करता है कि किस किस की बात, तो ये चेंज होता रहता है। बट ओवरऑल एडवांटेज के लिए आई विल से कि आने वाले समय में जैसे जैसे एनवायरमेंट कॉन्शियस बढ़ती जाती है, कार्बन फुटप्रिंट जो है वो वर्धमान स्पेशल स्टील का सारे हमारे कंपेटिटर और पूरी इंडस्ट्री में सबसे कम होगा।
yes,
तो जैसे जैसे ये एनवायरमेंट कॉन्शियसनेस बढ़ती जाएगी और कस्टमर में बातचीत होनी शुरू हो गई है, सो एज दिस एनवायरमेंट कॉन्शियसनेस इंप्रूव्स, यू विल सी दैट वर्धमान स्पेशल स्टील विल द बिगेस्ट बेनिफिशियरी ऑफ एनवायरमेंट कॉन्शियसनेस, बिकॉज वी यूज अ रिसाइकल प्रोसेस इलेक्ट्रिक आर्क फर्नेस, our impact on the environment is the lowest.
Right, sir. And best wishes for the great numbers. You are doing great efforts for that. We wish you a very good act from Gora Fora.
Thank you, Anil ji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rusham from RS Capital Service. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, your honor.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So actually, I'm first time joining. I'm just trying to understand, sir, your vision. I was just going to presentation, like, you know, as the car is transitioning from gasoline to hybrid to EV. And we are, you know, transitioning towards more specialty products for EV. So from a 3 to 5 year perspective, how does the pricing power with the OEMs change? And also in the terms of volumes, as you said, like more and more export will come into the picture. So we'll have more of steady business going forward. So please explain here, sir.
So first of all, this is your assumption that it's a logical change to EVs. That is your assumption.
Well, is there a presentation that the industry will shift, you know, one of these slides?
People are saying we put in the presumption, but this is an assumption, and this assumption could actually may not play out in the next 10 years. May not.
Okay.
We don't know. Okay, so we are preparing ourselves for both the worlds. We are preparing ourselves for the world in which EV is going to be the dominant player. We don't think that is the, that we don't believe that that is the scenario. But if that is the scenario, we have to be ready for that. So we are preparing for EVs, and currently about 6% of our business last year was sales to EVs. And going ahead, we will be increasing our percentage towards EVs because we are ready with those products.
Okay.
Second, the negotiation power, please understand we are talking to global OEs. As a small steel company, there is no negotiating power that we have with these companies.
Okay.
So even to think that you can have a negotiating power with these global OEs is a misconception. So we don't venture into that area. If we had a negotiating power, would we say we'll be 7 to 10,000 range EBITDA per ton? We would say we'll be 20,000 rupees EBITDA per ton. Okay? And so our belief is that gasoline engine will stay for a longer time than most people think. We also believe that hybrid cars is the way forward for the environment. And actually, the more and more studies are coming out that EVs, actually, the carbon footprint of an EV over the lifetime of the car is higher than that of even a diesel engine. Yeah, so it's a shocking thing, but I just came across a study. So this is not my view. This is a study which has come out in a reputed journal. So I'm just sharing that there are enough counter views coming in now, more and more counter views coming in, that EVs is not the way for the future from the environment point of view. It's a better car to drive. Somebody wants to use it. Somebody who's driven a Tesla says an excellent car and so on. But when the subsidies get withdrawn from this industry, highly subsidized, and where is the electricity grid? Where is the power? So, you know, all those are questions that have to come in. Anyway, this is not my area of expertise, but I'm just saying that EVs may or may not be the future for the next 10 years. Beyond 10 years, who knows?
Correct.
And I'm not saying they will not be. I'm just saying the questions have started coming up that it may not be as attractive as people are thinking it to be.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying.
In terms of sourcing, initially we'll be targeting all Japanese movies. So, and going, so most of the capacity will be, you know, towards fulfilling that demand, right, going forward. Then we might become an export hub, you know, going forward.
So let me say that we are not particularly oriented towards Japanese, but if you look at the Indian market, it is dominated by Japanese companies. So it is Maruti, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, four Japanese OEs. If you look at motorcycles also, Hero is originally from the Japanese, from the Hero Honda technology. So it's a Honda technology based material. So is Honda, so is Yamaha, so is TVS. So, you know, it is just that India is a market dominated by Japanese. There is of course Hyundai, there is Tata. And in addition, Southeast Asia also largely, it is Japanese oriented. So, keeping these two scenarios in mind, I think that is why we searched for a Japanese partner. We were lucky. We got Aichi as our partners. And so we have catered to the Japanese because that is what the market is.
Correct.
If the market was, let's say, if Indian market was dominated by Volkswagen and Peugeot and Renault, if that was the domination, we would probably look for a German partner.
And so you just mentioned that Mukund is a competitor now they have some tie-up with Sumitomo.
No, they were always a competitor. Now they are a competitor. Mukund is number one in this industry. Okay, so they set the industry benchmark. So they haven't become a competitor now. They were always the competitor and they are the market leaders.
And suppose this tie-up with Mukund, they become even more better because they have no tie-up with Sumitomo.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because Sumitomo is not a steel company.
Yeah.
Sumitomo is a trading company.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
If my view will want out here, amongst all the special steel companies, our alliance with Aichi is the strongest alliance, because Aichi is acknowledged in Japan as the best automotive steel maker. Tie-up is with a steel maker, with an automotive steel maker, and which is acknowledged as the best automotive steel manufacturer in Japan and probably the world. So going forward, I don't think any other company will be able to stand up to us when the full advantage of IT technology comes to us.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Uday Prakash from Value Research India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on the
Thank you, Uday.
I just have a couple of questions.
Hey, your voice is muffled, Uday. I can't hear you clearly.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
In the last quarter,
Sir, there is a slight disturbance. One moment, sir. Sorry to interrupt you. There is a slight disturbance. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the management line back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So please go ahead. Uday, can I request you to repeat your question from the beginning?
Yes, sir. So in the last quarter, management had stated that in May, sample orders to IT were coming. So have we received any response on that, maybe on quality or something? And are we still sticking to the plan of commencing production in FY24?
Yeah, so Uday, the process of trial orders is continuous. And regular production has also started. So because there are so many parts for which the steel is going and so many steels that are getting approved, so every quarter we are receiving approval of one or the other steel quality, and then trial order for that is going on. And for the ones where the trial orders have gone earlier, the manufacturing orders started coming in, production orders started. So the process is in full flow.
Okay, sir. My second question is, you had stated that many other OEMs other than Toyota are also in the inquiring. Are we having any further discussions with any of them with the potential to convert them into sales, or are they just in the inquiry?
No, these are in the serious discussions. So Yamaha very clearly is coming in. There are a few others that are, I think, because Yamaha is an existing customer. But thanks to IT support being there, now they're looking at us for global operations. There are a few other OEs which are being discussed. And thankfully, IT is using their offices for each of these OEs also, which is in addition to their business. We're getting the support of IT fully in all, because all the Japanese OEs are contacting them straight.
Okay, sir. My third question is that you had stated price increase from OEMs were received at rupees 9,000. And then you stated that there was a price reduction also up to rupees 4,000 per ton in Q2. So what is the effect, sir? Can you please make it clear? When will the 4,000 reduction will have an effect in our revenue, on our EBITDA?
Yeah, so let's say only one OE has not yet given the price increase of Q1, which is Tata Motors. Okay, so there's only one OE that has not given the increase. Of course, in our portfolio, it's a very small amount, so it really doesn't matter too much. But yes, so all other OEs have settled Q1. In Q2, because costs have gone down, and the market sentiment of steel has gone down for both reasons, the auto OEs have reduced prices. So from 1st of July, that is Q2, all invoicing will be at a lower price. So the OEs have agreed on a 4,000 rupees reduction. So a 9,000 rupees increase, if you look at March prices, Q1 is a 9,000 rupees increase for most of the OEs, and Q2 is a 4,000 rupees reduction from that, which means still a 5,000 rupees increase from March prices. This is for most of the OEs. But one of the OEs has not yet agreed on Q2, though has agreed on Q1, and Tata, since they have not even agreed on Q1, there is no question of agreeing on Q2. So there is something still pending, but most of the OEs have settled for Q2 also. So we have a reasonable handle, not a complete handle, but a reasonable handle at least on the profitability of Q2. Now, since Tata has not given any price increase in Q1, it's not been settled so far, so we have not taken impact of any increase which was given by Tata. If they give any increase in Q1, those that will be added to Q2 numbers.
Okay, sir. So, sir, how long would it take actually for us to reflect this reduction or increase? Would it take a month, these numbers to reflect?
No. It is put into effect within a couple of days, because once the OE increases, then the next process is then they get internal approvals, and then the paperwork gets done, then they send it to us, then they send it to their tier ones. So it's the whole process takes about 15 days or so, roughly.
Yes.
Roughly 15.
Right now, the prices are fluctuating highly. So if the prices increase once again, next quarter, let's say in Q3, is it possible for us to have an increment once again? Will the OEM accept it, or because we've already done it in 4Q1, would it be difficult?
No, there's no such thing. So if the costs increase in Q2 and raw material cost increases in Q2 and the market situation indicates towards that, we will justifiably ask for a price increase in Q3. As of now, we've settled only Q2. So till 30th September, our fate is sealed for most of the OEs. Q3 is wide open.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a great quarter.
Thank you, Rohan.
Most of my questions are already answered, and just had a couple of more. So with the expansion plans that we have over the next few years, would CAPEX be funded mainly from the funds that we have received from IG and internal accruals, or is there any chance of any equity dilutions as well, or any other scheme?
So if I look at the capacity expansion has two parts. One is the capacity expansion in the existing location, so which is what is going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years. So that it can be funded totally by internal accruals and little bit of incremental debt. So we don't need a dilution from the company's point of view. Now, moment we put up a new plant, the greenfield plant, which will cost anywhere between 1500 to 2000 crores, we will need an equity dilution. So this is as far as need is concerned, from purely financing angle. There is another need which comes in terms of demonstrating to the Japanese OEs the seriousness of Aichi and the importance of Vardhaman Special Steel in Aichi and the Toyota system. So this would mean at some stage, though the company may not financially need any further money, there could be a possibility of Aichi increasing their stake from the current levels.
Okay.
So that possibility is clearly there. In fact, we have, when we signed the agreement, there is an agreement with them that at some stage they will increase their stake from the current 11.5% is too small a stake. As we become extremely important in Toyota's global system, they will, in all probabilities, they will want to increase the stake from the current levels.
Right. You had mentioned this in one of the earlier calls as well, sir.
Exactly. So I'm saying yes, the company doesn't need any money, but for strategic reasons, there could be a possibility of dilution at some stage.
This would be looking closer to the latter half of the decade, right, sir?
See, there are two parts again. One is need. The need will be in the second, as you rightly said, the latter half of the decade, where we put up the new green field. Then there will be need.
Yeah.
But the strategic part can happen anytime. It could happen next year, it could happen 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I don't know. It is when Aichi feels the right time. Because when the, see, just now the business for Toyota has just started.
Yeah.
When it picks up a little bit of momentum, at some stage they may want to increase their stake.
Okay.
And we'll facilitate that. So as a company management, we have already agreed, as Vardhaman Group, we have agreed that at some stage they want to increase their stake. We would welcome them to increase the stake in the company.
Okay.
Now, but the probability that Vardhaman will sell shares to them is very low, and therefore any increase in stake that they put in will be through further dilution, fresh equity.
Right.
So which means the company becomes even stronger with more fund infusion rather than the probability that promoting companies will be selling their stake.
Fair enough. That is good to hear, sir. So, and about the immediate expansion at the current facilities that you mentioned, so what kind of incremental capacity would be at our disposal over the next 2-3 years?
Currently, our capacity is 2 lakh tons of billet making and 180,000 tons of rolled product.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we complete the current phase of expansion in the existing location, our capacity on the existing product mix will go up to about 250 to 260,000 tons of billet making and about 225 to 230,000 tons of rolled production. But now some of the products that from Aichi that will come in will perhaps need a little lower productivity. So then the capacity will be dependent on the product mix that comes in and may fluctuate, may come down a bit. But in all probabilities, the capacity with the enhanced product mix will be 240,000 tons or above in billet making.
Oh. Got it, sir. Just one last question, sir. Speaking of IG, now that you've mentioned in the presentation that the trial orders have also, supply of trial orders has begun. So if you could just shed some light on how that's going and if there's any feedback from IG.
See, trial orders have been approved, which is why the production orders have begun.
Right.
Okay. So, but there are several parts because we are to be the dominant supplier of one of the major auto platforms of Toyota.
Correct.
In 2025. So one by one, various parts are being added to our kitty. So as each part, the approval comes in, and it's a tedious process to get approvals of each part.
Right.
So it's part by part approval. It's not that Vardhaman Steel is approved and you can produce anything. So Vardhaman Steel has to be approved, then the steel has to be approved, and then for each part, the steel has to be approved.
Approved, right.
Yeah, so all that process is going on. I'm saying the final approvals have started coming in, and so the manufacturing orders have begun. Now, in the next few months, we will know how is the impact of these, of the manufactured products that are going in. But IC's own people are here, their own quality people are here. So they are making sure that the product is as per Toyota's specifications.
Right. All right. Got it, sir. Okay. That's all from my end. And thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachit Jain for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for showing your interest in our company. We remain committed to our vision of being the number one company in India in specialized steels. And when I say number one, it means in quality, in safety, and in customer appreciation. We will never be number one in terms of size. There will be much bigger companies than us in this area. The other area we want to be in is to be a world-class company that anywhere in the world, when people talk about the leading special steel companies that are equivalent to the best in the world, we want to be up there in that name. So that is what drives our company. And thanks to our partners, Aichi, we are started off on a good footing. I wanted to share this also. The first 3 years term with Aichi will be coming to an end by September. And we are in the process of negotiating the fees and other terms, etc., for the next 3 years. So those will be finalized in the next couple of months. From 1st of October, we'll be working with the contract for the next 3 years. So overall, this year will remain a bit choppy and uncertain still. But on an overall basis, I remain optimistic about the business, primarily because of our partners and the support and the clear runway that we're getting thanks to them. Our team has worked well and our bankers have supported us well. So our EBITDA to capital employed and all other things, we remain, our eye is on the ball on all those parameters that you as investors are also looking at. So thank you so much once again for showing your support in our company.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.